Bill Flores joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Last Friday, Eric Holder, the majority leader in the House, pretty much laid out the game plan for the coming weeks. I'd like to get your thoughts there.
Well, Eric Cantor did. Eric Holder is the attorney general.
I'm sorry. How about Eric Cantor? Okay. We'll talk about Eric Holder later. How's that?
Okay. Yeah, there's a world of difference between those two men. Anyway, yes, Eric Cantor laid out the agenda for this coming week, which is Stop Government Abuse Week. And we passed the first of a couple of them last night that had to do with a Freedom of Information Act request, FOIA requests, as they're more commonly called. The administration has been complying with those, but sending all the requests through the executive branch. And what the American citizens are getting back are a bunch of redacted documents that, you know, everything's blacked out, you can't read it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to fix that. And then there was an IT bill to fix the government's procurement process in the area of information technology, because the government's the sorriest acquirer of IT in the world, I think, seems like. And then we have a bunch of other bills that will be on the floor this week having to do with taxpayer transparency and so on. One of the big, more controversial bills this week is the Homeowner Flood Insurance Act. That'll probably be on the floor sometime tomorrow.
That's something that'll give some relief to Gulf Coast Texans, for instance?
Right. It's primarily folks that are required to buy flood insurance. Flood insurance premiums have skyrocketed because in Congress we passed a law a couple of years ago that required that flood insurance premiums begin to reflect the true cost of what flood insurance is. And you know, just in a nutshell, the cost of insurance is equal to the cost of claims plus administration. You know, since flood insurance claims are high, then premiums ought to be high. So we're trying to do a short-term reform while we give the market a chance to adjust to what should be a lot higher premiums for flood insurance.
Bill Flores joining us this morning from D.C. Now, one bill would repeal the provision in the health care law that defines a full-time worker as somebody who works 30 hours a week.
And correct.
Now, the Congressional Budget Office really doesn't like that idea very much. They think this is going to cost their numbers $7 billion a year more and cost a million people their health care coverage. So I'll ask you to defend that as far as the Republicans are concerned.
Well, what you have to look at is what happens on the other side to employment. So you've got this rub. Some people could lose the health insurance coverage that they would be entitled to under Obamacare. But on the other hand, you'll have a lot of people lose their jobs because employers will not be able to afford the increased cost of insurance, and they will either drop employees or they'll drop insurance coverage. So what we're trying to do is use more of a status quo for now, and that is go back to what's considered full-time, which is 40 hours today. And you know, the CBO, you know, again, this is one of those conundrums you get into, but I think it's better not to lose jobs that are going to be lost under Obamacare. You know, the numbers keep going up in terms of jobs lost. So this is kind of a short-term fix until we can put our own replacement on the floor.
Well, and again, from a micro standpoint, I can certainly see the idea of an employer wanting to protect his bottom line. And I think we also had a report earlier this week that 67% of small businesses, those under 50 employees, will see their premiums go up under the Affordable Care Act.
Well, they already have, and they're going to continue to see them go up. And, I mean, if you're an employer that's already operating under a thin margin in a weak economic environment, and you know, you can define that as almost anything outside of Texas or North Dakota, then you are going to be forced to shed employees or shed all of your health care coverage for everybody. And so that's the issue. This isn't protecting profits. This is protecting employment.
Now, kind of unusual, the White House at the White House yesterday, President Obama's met with the Speaker, John Boehner, for an hour. Was this more than a one-on-one meeting? Is this more than a photo op? Something going to come out of this?
Well, I doubt it, actually, because, I mean, the ideology of the two men is totally different. The president believes that you ought to have a big government solution for everything that ails America, and that his view of prosperity is to keep a lot of people permanently stuck in a welfare class. The speaker's attitude, on the other hand, is that, you know, jobs and paychecks cure most of these ills with the economy. And so we have two entirely different views on what creates economic growth and prosperity for families.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Now, the aforementioned Eric Holder kind of sparked a controversy yesterday because he spoke to the state AGs, or said to the state AGs, that, in fact, if they are not obligated to defend their states, in this case, gay marriage bans. But, I mean, that he says engaging in that process and making that determination is something that's appropriate for an attorney general to do. Now, that happens to be one issue, but it sounds like he's opening the gate for that to be any kind of a controversial issue that a state AG could choose not to enforce a law.
Well, the attorney general he reminds me of a mafia thug, and he has no place being on the taxpayer payroll. He abuses the Constitution. He ignores the law. He uses the taxpayer provided resources, the attorney general's or the Department of Justice, to beat people and organizations into submission to see his will. I mean, he's the worst person I can ever imagine in this particular role. And so I think he's wrong on this. I mean, he needs to remember what the 10th Amendment says, what the 9th Amendment says, and quit using the Department of Justice to try to coerce states into doing what he thinks is his view of the world.
And finally today, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel earlier this week discussed cuts. I guess what made the headlines is the fighting force would be down to the lowest level it's been since 1940, but also some airframes being taken out of service and other moves within the Defense Department. Your thoughts there?
Well, again, it's another wrong-headed approach to dealing with the federal government's primary responsibility, and that's securing this country. About 2 years ago, when the president submitted his budget late, like he's going to submit this one late, they set the top line for the Defense Department and then had the missions recalibrated to fit the top line budget. In the past, the way the budget process has worked is the Department of Defense defines its mission, and then you set the budget based on what the mission is. So they've got it exactly backwards. You're using budget to set missions instead of missions to set budgets. I can guarantee you this. There are a lot of Democrats and almost all Republicans that will not go along with the direction that the President and Secretary of Defense Hagel are wanting to take the Defense Department. And we're going to get this fixed. So I know a lot of people are sort of freaked out about it, and understandably so, but the direction that the President and Hagel want to go is not the direction that Congress wants to go, and we control the purse strings.
So when do you think the first major showdown in this might happen?
During our budget hearings with the Defense Department, and that will be later on in early March.
Okay. We'll,
and I look forward to that one, so y'all need to tune in to that one.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thank you for the time this morning.
Good talking to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
Certainly. Thank you.